Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Oh, you guys were
keeping Are we on the air?
Well, you were about to be.
Oh.
You were about to be. They've already got it going, folks. It's the final show, and they're not going to miss 1 minute of the argument this evening. Welcome to Jaguars.
We're just talking about Pete's stature. You're not on. It's perfect.
On.
It's a perfect show.
What? You don't want to hear me the last time, Joe?
I love you, Pete.
I know. We were talking about Baselli being on a diet and gaining 10 pounds over the holidays.
So did you order the pizza that you wanted?
No, I did not order the pizza.
If anyone from Carmine's in Riverside is listening, you missed the opportunity when you put Baselli on hold.
It was too long. Listen, I'll say this. If Carmine's is listening, if they bring two pies, I'll pay. I'll give a $10 tip.
What I want to know is who vouched. Joe's the voucher for Carmine's, right? I've never had it before. You've had it, right?
Yes.
It's good.
And I usually trust Joe's judgment on
pies.
No,
it's good. If they'll bring two pies, larges, $10 tip. Whoever brings them.
$10. Well, they've already got about $100 worth of
advertising. I love the way you're tipping $10 with my $10 that I gave you for the kid.
I'll buy the pizza.
Okay.
Hang on a second. You're going to get some listener going to go to Carmine's. You're going to end up with seven different people wanting $10 from you.
They got to call the show.
None of them are going to take your credit card.
By the way.
Oh, yeah, you have to take credit card, too.
By the way, Brian.
You have to take American Express.
By the way, Brian.
Yeah.
He says he's buying the pizza.
Yeah.
Did you ask for the pizza? No. Did I ask for the pizza? No. Who wants the pizza? You do.
Joe does.
No, you do.
Well, if it's coming from there, I do.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've never eaten.
I'm not even that hungry. But if you bring that, I'll have that.
I'll have to say, though, if they're going to bring pizza, you get a $10 check. You have to have a credit card machine so I can pay for it.
Something tells me we're going to be walking out of here hungry.
I don't think it's coming.
All right, the number tonight, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Big three things you need to know. Tonight we're talking about the draft. We're going to talk about free agency, number two. And number three, who's here? What does this roster look like when the next season starts? We've got lots to talk about, the playoffs, Black Monday. So where do you guys
want
to start?
Lots of guys getting fired.
Well, let's start with number one, and that's the draft. And that's the primary focus for this football team from here on out. Looks like the Jaguars will coach one of the two teams in the Senior Bowl. That's a big advantage for this staff and for David Caldwell working with these guys to get them where they want to be, to find the players that they want.
Why is it such an advantage, you think?
Well, Gus told us that when it came to certain guys that he had worked with, whether they came in free agency or whether they were here in Jacksonville. In fact, Puzlesny was a guy that he coached in the Senior Bowl when he was at Tampa. So he had a book on Puzlesny. He knew what kind of guy he was. He knew what he liked and how he could play before he ever walked in here. It gives you a leg up on a bunch of guys who are going to play in the NFL.
See, I'm with Tony on that a little bit. I don't necessarily buy. I mean, it's good to be there and you're involved with them and you're around them a little more than maybe you normally would, where you walk up and watch practice and talk to all your friends. Because that's what the Senior Bowl is. Everybody acts like
it's a coaching convention.
Yeah, they act like they're all standing there watching practice. They're all talking to each other about this great season that they had and what they're going to eat for dinner that night. And then they take a few, they watch a little, except Coughlin, who was like right in the middle of every drill when he was there.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I don't know
if this team is in a place where it really needs to be focused on the talent that's there. I mean,
I'll say this. If I was the head coach and I was down at the bottom,
yeah,
and I had to, I would do it. Because I don't think it can hurt. I'm not sure how much it helps. I mean, I think if you can get around, I think where it does help you is on that mid to late round guy, that you might see something, the way he practices, the way he handles himself, his attitude, whatever it is.
Right.
That I think that it can give you an advantage
there.
Look,
the Jaguars drafted Rashad Jennings.
I would do it.
They drafted Rashad Jennings in the seventh round the year after they coached him in the Senior Bowl last time, back in 2000, January 2009.
I don't know if that's the greatest.
Well, no, it's just an example of a guy, though, that they brought in.
But also gives you exposure. And this team needs exposure.
Right.
I mean, you're playing in the Senior Bowl. People watch the Senior Bowl. They pay attention to the practices during the week, how you handle your practices. There's Gus Bradley. There's Jed Fish. I mean, these guys are going to get exposure. That's a good thing. Anytime this franchise can get exposure outside of Jacksonville, it's a good thing. So it's good from that standpoint.
Yeah, so the draft is right where this team is focused right now. Obviously, free agency, which is our next big thing you need to know, will be an area that this team will spend some money. And you look, they already did last week, wherein they signed the deal for Sen'Darrick Marks. Good deal, it would seem. $8 million guaranteed, couple more years on it. I mean, he's not an elite-level player, but, boy, he sure gives you a lot in the middle of that defense.
And he's 26 years old. And that's a Tom Coughlin thing I learned from him a long time ago. Our average age, you want your guys being 26. You want your average age of your team being 26. And Cedric Marks is 26 years old. He's the right age. You pay guys at 20. You don't want to pay guys at 30, 31. It's not name over game. It's game over name. And a lot of teams get into problems with that.
Well, listen, Cedric Marks earned his money this year in the sense that he played at a high level. He played a lot of snaps, too many snaps. And he had nice production, and I think he'll have better production next year when he plays about 30% less snaps than he did this year because he's on the field way too much. I mean,
yeah, he's not an elite player, but he's a good player.
He's he got four sacks. I mean, listen, if you can get 4 to 6 sacks from the inside tackle position, that's a nice – you're doing a nice job.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Now, elite guys are getting 8 to 12. But, I mean, if you're getting 4 to 6, I mean, that's a good job.
It's a good building block to have on this team. It's a good guy to have on the roster.
But this team is probably going to have to be.
You got to go get another 3 technique, though.
Yeah, well, besides just that, though, they're going to have to build on both lines using some free agent money.
It's just not a great class of free agents.
Well, I mean.
I mean, you can't sign guys just to sign them.
Well, I agreed, but you're going to have to go find some guys to compete.
I understand that, but don't be surprised. Listen, I think they spend more money than they did this past year. And try to go get some, but I just don't know if it's Dave Caldwell's nature and what Gus wants to do, or they're going to be big players.
Well, I'm not talking about going and signing Alex Mack.
No, I'm not even saying that.
Don't get me wrong.
I'm saying, but even the first week where this team did nothing last year, I can see them doing nothing this year and letting it kind of. But
then that's the smart way to be.
Week 2, 3, and 4 is when you start spending some money, but you don't spend a lot of money in those areas.
Well, they have money to spend, Tony. At some point, you got to spend that money.
I agree with that, Pete. But you also know it's fool's gold going after those big name guys week one.
Yeah, but
I mean, who's going to be out there?
If there's a 26-year-old,
who's going to be out there? That's 26. That's good.
Well, I didn't say week one. I just said spend.
Well,
some
I'm
money.
Asking Pete.
Well, Alex Mack is out there.
He's not going to be a free agent. They're going to sign him.
Well, if they don't,
they're going to.
Do you go sniffing around him?
Yes. But those guys don't become free agents. The Cleveland Browns have as much or more cap room as the Jaguars do.
The Cleveland Browns don't know what they're doing.
Well, that's obvious.
I mean.
They fired a coach who was there less than a year.
Yeah, so I think.
But I'm going to. Yeah, we'll get into the coaches in a second. My point is, those guys don't hit free agency.
Usually they don't. Right.
That's my point. So, I mean, you tell me, I don't have the free agent list in front of me.
It's not a great list.
Who's going to be free?
It's not a great list. It's not a great list at all. I'll be honest with you. Michael Orr, they don't need it. They're not going to play a right tackle.
No.
They need a center.
And two guards.
They're not going to pay guards. They don't pay guards. I don't. Tennessee did. How'd that work out? I mean, he's a good player. But are they that much better than they were a year ago now?
Levitre. No, but the Saints guy, the right tackle for the Saints, you wouldn't pay?
Who, Streif?
No, the right guard.
Jari Evans.
You wouldn't pay him?
He's not a free agent, though.
No, I'm saying, but would you pay him?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pay guards. I would not pay guards. I would draft tackles who can't play tackle and make them guards. Like that.
Well,
like
sooner or later, you got to pay them then to keep them.
I'm not going to pay guard.
This team has to get better at the interior of the line, obviously.
You make no sense. Whether you draft a guy or you go get a guy.
Well, you can't have five guys you pay on the offensive line.
No, I'm not saying paying unreal, but you have to pay middle of the line money. You have to pay for an offensive line.
Right now you're only paying one.
Right.
Because Jokel's working under his rookie contract, and Pazder's going to stay over on the right side next year.
But is he the guy? That's the question right now that needs to be answered right there.
Is he going to be back?
Is he going to be the right tackle?
Who, Pazdor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. So
yes.
So they don't need a right tackle.
No, I don't think they do.
Okay, so then they got the right tackle and the left tackle.
I would not be surprised if there's 3 new interior players next year.
And I don't think all 3 of them are coming from the draft is what I'm saying. I think they're going to spend some money.
No, I think they will get a guy free. No, yeah. I agree with that. But I think there'll be 3 new faces inside.
It's just not a great class to go spend money on.
Look at all the changes that we've got now. You might see some guys that are coming free all of a sudden with the new coaches, the new general managers that are going to go around the net. There's only one GM.
The problem with this whole scenario is the backup linemen in the NFL are so bad nowadays. You know, usually if you let a guy go, you'd have that guy ready to step up and play.
You say that, and I agree with you for the most part, but Pazdor was a backup guy who was basically – struggled to make the team and was on nobody's list to be the guy. And he got
still
in there.
Still to be determined. I know you're getting ahead of yourself saying he's Leon's second coming of Leon Searcy over here.
No, you're putting words in my mouth. I never said that.
But you're getting a little.
Go look at the right tackles in this league.
It's a bad position.
Okay, so my point is Austin Pasdor is in the middle of the. He is going to be fine, and he's going to get better. This is his first year ever playing right tackle.
I'm
he's going to get better.
He's not going to get better, Tony, but is that position done, finished, over? Is he the
on
answer?
On this team, yes. Okay. Because, listen, you have enough holes in other places that you know.
That's not what I'm asking you.
Yes.
You know, I'm asking you, is that position solved regardless of the other holes?
Well, you can't do it that way, Pete, because if every other issue was settled, is that a position you can't upgrade?
Well, then you can't worry
you can't
about
upgrade.
It. Then you can't. I mean, if it's settled in your to your,
I think I would not worry about
you're
it
not worried
next
about
year.
It. Okay,
no, I wouldn't.
Right. To be determined.
I'm not the GM, but I wouldn't.
I tend to agree with you and lean that way, but still to be determined.
Of course, there's very few positions on this team I would say that about. But I think the tackle position, you have a right, you have a left, you have a swing guy.
Of course, we're focusing on the offensive line here when it comes to spending some money in free agency, but they need to upgrade their linebacking core for certain.
Speed.
They need some.
They need
could use a pass rush.
They need
speed. Exactly.
This team is slow. They need speed all over the
place. Here's the two places I would not focus on this year. The secondary and the tackle, offensive tackles. Not that it's the greatest secondary ever, but I think you have young players who are going to get better, and if you look at the long list of areas you need to improve on, I would not worry about tackle or secondary.
All right.
I think they need to get faster. In linebacker, up front, receiver, they need speed. Home run threat in the backfield, this team lacks speed, and it shows up.
All right, let's take our first break of the night. When we come back, we'll go back through the big three, and we'll get to who's here. Where does this roster stay the same, and where does it change? Based on the guys who are here right now, you're listening to Jaguars Monday, the final one of the season from the HannityAutos.com studio. Pete Prisco is here. Tony Boselli is here. And we're back after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HannityAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, three big things you need to know we're talking about tonight. Number one, the draft is next for the Jaguars, at least in terms of overall importance. Number two is free agency. The Jaguars began last week to add to their roster with Sindarik Marks securing his services for next year. They signed a couple of players today, I think 10 to futures contracts. And then finally, number three is who's here? Who's here? Who's not? Let me give you the one that will do. It'll start it all. So you got that one ready?
Which one are we talking about?
Well, now I got to tell them who it is, so there's
it's
no
Maurice
surprise
Jones
factor.
Drew. I mean,
no, it's
goodness.
Not Maurice Jones-Drew.
Mercedes Lewis.
No, it's not Mercedes Lewis.
Well, we know Brad's gone.
Yeah, it's not
it's
Brad.
It's Blaine Gabbert.
I got you.
It is Blaine Gabbert.
That's your guy. That's your favorite
I like
player.
He's absolutely he's my favorite player. Not of all time. That would be you.
Thank you.
Here's Blaine.
I like
Blaine. Why would I ask for a trade? It's a ridiculous question to ask. So no, I'll be here in April. And April 14th, we'll start over and go through the offseason program with the same head coach. I'm still under contract here, and I want to be a part of this organization. So we enjoy competition here, and I enjoy competition. And we're going to compete for a job. And nothing's ever settled until game one of next season.
I liked him before. I like him even more right now.
Why do you like that even more?
I just like his attitude.
What was he going to say?
Trade me?
There's a lot of people that could say, I don't know. There's a lot of people that could walk out of the building without talking to anybody. Go ask.
Oh, I agree with that.
Ask Dave. Ask Gus. I don't know. Hey, look. I mean, it's not like he's won the job here. He didn't ever get back on the field. But I told you, I watched him every week, every Sunday, would stand there and watch him in warm-ups. Love the arm. Do I think that he is the guy? Well, no. I mean, how could I? He didn't get back on the field. But I like the talent that I see. And it didn't hurt in Jacksonville in 1995 when you had Steve Berline, Mark Brunell, and a young guy in Rob Johnson. So why not bring him back?
So you think that...
I don't think anything. I'm just
I'm
telling you what he says.
I'm asking you a question, Pete, then, if Brian doesn't want to play the game.
I always play the game.
I mean, do you see them bringing back Blaine, Chad, and then drafting a guy in the first three rounds?
I don't think they'll both be on the roster next year. I don't.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, Blaine is under contract. I think they're going to try to redo or sign Chad.
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, they
won four games in the last eight.
Not even that. I mean, he's just stability.
Well, yeah. He
got better.
You're not going to clean the whole room out necessarily.
You can't. I don't think.
No. I don't think so either. But I liked the response.
I like the response, too.
So you're pretty much convinced that Chad's coming back.
I think so. I mean, listen, based on nothing that I know from Dave or
right.
Gus, I mean, just my own gut feeling from what I've seen, if I was the GM, I would bring back Chad Henne.
But if they're really about competition here, and that's what Gus and Dave have been saying since day one, what does it hurt to bring back a guy
Nothing.
Who's clearly got arm talent to come and compete? It will only make you better. So why not bring him back?
Stop talking like Trent Dilfer, please.
Is that arm talent thing his thing? I don't know. I never listened to him. I got that from him.
Last night he said foot energy. He described somebody by having their. He was talking about Nick Foles with foot energy.
A guy who could. Hey, a guy with some ability.
Yeah,
to come back and play in training camp. Why not?
I guess if I had to be pressed right now,
why would you take a guy off the roster because Scott is that impressive? He's your third arm in camp.
I would probably draft a guy in the second or third round and bring him in with Matt. Blaine and Chad. If I kept to keep three guys on
Kevin
the roster,
wasn't a bad
I keep three guys on the roster.
He kept his head down and worked. He wasn't a problem.
Who?
Blaine.
No, he was great. He was a pro.
Absolutely.
I have no problem with Blaine.
So there's no reason for everybody to shove him out the door right now when he's under contract with an arm.
You're right.
There's no reason to do it.
There is none.
But everybody out there wants to do it because he hasn't been the star quarterback.
I guess.
Guys have a chance to get better.
Maybe it's not fair to Blaine.
I don't think any of this has been fair to him.
Well, I disagree with that 100%. He's in the NFL. He's getting paid to do a job.
All right. You get my point.
Goodness. Not
I bet
fair.
I think when
I
you
mean,
look,
I get so tired of the. Deserve this or it's fair.
Circumstances do matter.
It never worked out. Whatever.
Here.
You make your circumstances. You make.
Oh,
your,
really?
You create your opportunity.
Right. If
there's some of the guys that he's there. Chaston West, you can really make a lot of opportunity there. You can make a lot of opportunity there.
You can.
I don't think so.
You create it.
Chaston West.
Oh, so you're going to live life depending on your circumstances and the people around you?
No, I'm saying, but you can take
that
a guy.
That sounds like loser talk to me, no, Brian.
Oh, yeah, there you go again. You can take a guy and you can plop him down in a circumstance where he steps up and he
you
plays
really well. You create
your
own really opportunities
well.
Or you wait for other people to do it for you?
In a team game?
You better have some help.
But are you going to create your own opportunities?
But he, in fairness, Blaine hasn't played well enough.
No, of course he hasn't. Or he would have got back on the field.
Right.
I get that.
My whole point in saying this is Blaine got. I'm a little, and I didn't expect Blaine to say it, but would you blame Blaine if he said, listen, I want a fresh start. I know it's not going to work out here.
Now, I would think that's a loser mentality.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean.
What you heard him say in there was.
That's what I would do. I like the fact that Blaine wants to compete.
Right.
Stay here. That says something.
And it says something about what he's done over here, that despite the fact that he's benched, he still wants to be here competing.
See, I would say if I'm not starting, I'm departing. That's what I would say. And if I'm not given a chance to start, I'm departing. And that's the key. Will he be given an opportunity to go to camp and start? I don't think he would be.
Well, he can't go anywhere unless they release him anyway
right.
because he's under contract.
Right. But would he be – okay, let's say in your scenario, Chad Henne's back, they draft a guy in the second round, and Gabbert's back. Is there any chance Gabbert starts next year?
Well,
I don't think so.
I mean, there's always a chance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, let me finish before you just say.
I'm just telling you what I think.
Well, you asked me a question.
Yeah, but you interrupt me all the time, so that's okay.
My answer to the question is, listen, Blaine has more physical talent than Chad Henne. Speed, arm strength, all that. To me, though, the quarterback position is so much more than that because he has more – talent, physical talent, than Tom Brady, than Peyton Manning, than Drew Brees. Probably not Aaron Rodgers, but those three. I mean,
probably not Tom Brady either.
Arm strength, throwing the ball?
Yeah, maybe.
Speed?
Tom Brady's got pretty damn good arm.
Okay, speed, running? Tom Brady?
Oh, yeah, he's fast.
Athletic ability?
Yeah.
Athletic
ability.
So my point is, but that doesn't mean a lot to me. At the quarterback position.
And you're right, because clearly it didn't, because never translated.
But my point, so I'm not sure, I have not seen Blaine with the moxie or the mental competitiveness in the pocket or the ability, the feel. I don't even know what to call it.
Right.
Because Blaine's a smart guy, so it's not mental as far as smartness, but the ability to command the pocket and command the situation and anticipate. The great ones anticipate, and they throw open, and they have the accuracy to put the ball right where they want it, and they see things.
Chad doesn't do that either.
Before it happens.
Chad doesn't do
and
that
maybe
either.
He never, and look, and maybe
Chad
he
is better at it than Blaine, though, right now.
Well, all right, but maybe he never gets there.
There's a ceiling on Chad. Who knows what the ceiling is on Blaine?
Yeah, which is why I say it doesn't hurt to bring him back.
I think the ceiling, me personally, I wouldn't have either one of them.
Well, Brunel said here early on, you can teach a guy some of those things. Not all of them, but a guy can develop him. He can learn. So why not bring him back?
I don't bring a guy just because he has a strong arm is my whole point. And that's what you're saying. He has arm talent.
No. I didn't say just because of the arm. I said it because I like the way he competes. He's been here. He's been
in
the meeting rooms.
Mark was taught a lot of that stuff because early in his career, Mark wasn't very good at that stuff either. Mark was we used to sit in the press box and go, because Mark would jump around in the pocket
but
and
you know
spin
what
around.
He
was athletic. And finally he learned that he could stay in the pocket and make the throws.
I agree with that. But what he did before he learned the pocket presence, he had a ability to make plays and do things outside the pocket, running,
right.
Big plays. Like, he created.
Right.
Now, sometimes it was by mistake, and he shouldn't have created, but he created. He was a big part of, in 96, he did things above the X's and O's, outside the game plan that helped us win. And so I haven't seen that from Blaine.
No, but here's what I'm saying, and we got to go to break. So I'll get the last word on this one. Gus said a few weeks ago at his news conference that he has seen improvement from Blaine on the practice field, that he's handled it very, very well. So what I'm saying is you got a young guy, hasn't worked out yet. He's under contract. He's got skills. Bring him back. Let him compete. And that's what he said he wanted to do. We'll take a break. News is next here, and we'll continue on with our look at the Jaguars. And, of course, a very busy day in the NFL. A number of coaches gone, and we'll talk about Black Monday. Plus, obviously, the playoffs are set, at least for the first round with the wild card. We'll talk about that on Jaguars Monday after news on News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, big three things you need to know tonight. The draft is the most important thing in front of the Jaguars, and the Jaguars coaching staff may be working the Senior Bowl. That will be announced later this week. Number two, free agency. The Jaguars got busy last week with Sendarik Marks, locking him up. Maurice Jones-Drew talked today about his thoughts on coming back, whether he would go, whether he would stay, and obviously he was a well-sought-out person in the Jaguars locker room today. Jaguars were there to close out the season with the media. And here's Maurice Jones-Drew.
Hopefully I can stay here, but, you know, that's kind of not up to me. Obviously, like I said, I think I said this on Sunday, you know, it's time to kind of sit back with my family and talk and see what's best for us. You know, obviously I have three kids that, you know, don't want to move them around and don't do those things. But if that's the case, then that has to be done. So,
and then the final.
We'll see. There's some other variables. And my agent and the organization will get those figured out, and hopefully we can get it done.
And then the final of our big three things you need to know is who's here. And we started talking about the quarterback position. Obviously, we can keep going with that ad nauseum. Let's backpedal a little bit on Maurice Jones-Drew. Be 29 in March. Obviously, the last two off seasons, rehabilitating the knee, then the foot, needs to lose weight, obviously. Is there a number on which you would want Maurice Jones-Drew back in Jacksonville?
Two-year deal, $3 million. $3.5 million, maybe four.
Total.
Yeah, that's it.
So $2 million a year.
Yeah, that's it.
Is there an argument to be made that even if he were to come back for free, you're better off with going young?
But he's good to have in the locker room, and he can spot him in and out. I'm not saying I think his role, that's another thing that's got to, his role's got to change. This is no longer Maurice 20, 25 carries a game. It's going to be your game. You got to get somebody.
They got to go draft a young guy.
They have to get a young guy. You have to get speed on this team. You have to get somebody. If you look at the good backs now in the NFL, aside from Eddie Lacy in Green Bay, who's a grinder, but you look at LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles.
Forte.
They all can get out in the screen game and create all these mismatches in the passing game. That's what this team does not have.
Well, Gus and Dave have talked ad nauseum about this roster getting faster and faster and faster.
Well, I'll say this. If Maurice is willing, two things. It's not just a money question, and Pete alluded to the second part of it. It's a role question. So if I sit down with Maurice and say, listen, I'm going to pay you two and a half a year, but your role is going to be you're going to come back in shape and you're going to be our short yardage, hard-to-get yardage guy, and you're going to get anywhere from 5 to 15 carries a game, are you okay with that? And if he says yes because I want to end my career in Jacksonville, I've made good money, and if I can get the 2.5 or 3 a year, I'll do it. Then, yes, there's value because he's been a great Jaguar. He is a pro. I think he'll come back in great shape because I don't think he liked how he felt this year.
Well, and he'll be motivated with a chip on his shoulder a reduced role.
And he's a great chip on the shoulder guy.
Yeah.
And so if he really gets in shape and really dedicates himself to the physical aspect of getting ready, because he doesn't have any major surgeries or injuries this year, and does that, then you might end up getting a guy who's got to step back and ends up being a 15 carry guy.
Right.
20 carry.
But
he has to know going in that you could be anywhere from a 5 to a 15 carry guy, and a lot of it depends on you and how you come back. And I'll say this, make it a $2.5 million a year with incentives. So if he rushes for 1,500 yards, you give him the money.
What are his options? Where do the other options? Okay, let's just say for the sake of the argument, he hits the market. Where's he going? Is somebody going to pay a running back who's going to turn 30 big money? No.
Well, everyone learned from Steven Jackson's deal this year.
And Steven Jackson actually, when he was on, but he didn't play. When he's on the field, he was good, but he's not on the field. And Steven Jackson.
He's a great receiver, too.
Right. So where does he go? For the sake of the argument, what teams are going to pay? Who's going to pay him? It would be a good team that would want to get a guy to get you over the hump, right?
Right.
Where is that? Is he going to go to Denver? Is he better than what they have in Denver?
No.
Is he going to go to Indy? They just traded for a guy. How did that work out?
He's, by the way, no good.
Who?
Richardson's awful.
No, he's not any good.
That might be, Ryan Grigson got the executive of the year last year. He might have to give it back.
I think
award.
That one was forced down on him from above. I don't know that for a fact.
I'm not sure about that.
I've heard that.
You might want
to. I've talked to Grigson.
Of course, he's not going to.
I've heard
come
that
on.
From somebody else. But look.
He might have to give back the award after that, making that trade.
Yeah, that's a bad deal. But, again, we go through. Is he go to New York, play for the Giants?
Maybe.
Possibility.
You've got a head coach
here. He fits in that offense.
Yeah.
Possibility. Yeah.
But there aren't many. For example, New England.
They got four backs.
A bunch of them. They just throw them in there and run them. That's what the league is becoming. Unless you have McCoy, Charles,
Peterson.
That's what the league is and Peterson, that's what the league is becoming.
But even Charles and McCoy, they're guys who catch the ball in the backfield.
Yeah.
Forte, it's a passing league. You got to be able to do both.
You can have a runner in Sproles. Right? You have a runner in Sproles. That works, too.
But I think you'd rather have...
Charles and McCoy.
Yeah. You know, I thought in Sunday's newspaper, Ryan O'Halloran hit on a real key issue with receiver with this team. And we talked about it in here, about a game-breaking kind of receiver. Here's an interesting conversation about Justin Blackmon, Cecil Shorts.
We had our rookie dinner yesterday, so he came out and hung out with us a little bit, and he's doing fine. He was home for the holidays, and it was good seeing him. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a reunion. We had a good time last night, but he's doing well. He looks good, and we're just excited for him. Hopefully, we can get him back as soon as possible.
You know, he didn't say anything about that. It was just good to see him again, right?
It was good to see him. We didn't talk about it too much. You know what I mean? I didn't want to bug him about it. You know what I mean? I think nobody did. You know what I mean? I just want to talk about not being negative, but you know what I mean? Talk about the bad stuff. So, yeah, we just kind of kept it positive. We're just happy to see him.
So after quarterback and Mojo, this is a guy everyone wants to know. What's your approach to him and bringing Justin Blackmon? Obviously, he's on the roster, and Jed Fish said last week he was going to prepare because he is on the roster. Your approach to the wide receiving position, knowing that you've got a guy that's got to come back.
And
plus, Cecil Shorts had the surgery, so you've got to work on that position.
Justin Blackmon is a very talented player, good player. I'm not sure he's great. I'm not sure he's a game-changing number one, but he is a very good player. I mean,
we had some moments this year.
Who reminds me of is Anquan Boldin. I mean, he can be that guy, big, possession, will win every 50-50 ball. I mean – not blazing fast, but fast enough to get open. I mean, he's
67-yard touchdown.
He's a very He's a very good player with the potential, I guess, to be a
14 catches
the
for
guy.
14 catches for 190 yards.
No, that's what I'm saying. He has the potential to be the guy.
Is he Alshon Jeffrey? Just a little bit smaller.
Well, Alshon's 6'3", 225. Yeah. Well,
what is Blackmon? 6'1"?
Yeah, 6'1".
He's Anquan Boldin.
Yeah. 210.
I think he's a little more sudden than Anquan Boldin.
I'll take Anquan. My point is they need – I'm not talking Anquan today. I'm talking Anquan back in the day. They need a guy who can take the top off it.
Right.
They don't have that guy.
So regardless of whether
Blackman's back or not, you need the guy who can take the top off.
Which is why the first round, that's a possibility. Sammy Watkins is one of those kind of guys.
Marquise
is a possibility.
Lee, I mean, guys who can run.
I think Watkins takes the top off a little better than Marquise Lee does. But
Marquise Lee is a world-class – I mean, he's – He's a flyer.
They are both. They both qualify as that game-breaking receiver. Here's the question, though, because I haven't seen Marquise Lee other than on TV. Can either one of them have the impact of A.J. Green?
I don't know if A.J.
And the reason I bring that up is because, remember, they drafted the quarterback after they drafted the receiver in Cincy,
AJ
and
Green's,
it worked instantly. And
AJ
I'm wondering
Green's
if one of those
6'3", 4'3".
He's actually 40. Taller than that. He's 6'4".
Yeah, he's a flyer. So Marquise Lee and Sammy Watkins are 6'1". They're 6'1", flyers.
Yeah, they're not big guys. They're big enough, but they're not big guys.
Well,
they're not Julio Jones and AJ Green, that long linear guy, you know.
That's just not why.
Yeah, Calvin Johnson, those guys. They're not that guy.
Well, I mean, you're
Josh Gordon.
They took the quarterback at the 34th or 38th pick that year, and they paired the receiver from the top five with the quarterback top of the second round. And it's worked for Cincinnati, and they've built it over time. But they've had that connection early on. You just wonder if you're looking at that and thinking that's a model that could be repeated.
It will work if they win in the postseason this year. If they don't win in the postseason, then the model isn't really working.
Well, how many touchdowns has that kid thrown up there?
33. But he's thrown 20 interceptions, and I went back and looked at a bunch of them. There's probably 5 to 7 of them that are not his, you know, hands, golf guys' hands and stuff. But 33 touchdowns. Drew Brees has thrown 39. Peyton Manning's thrown 55. Other than that, 55. Other than that, that's it. He's got more than everybody else. And I'm a big believer. I'll take a quarterback who throws 33 and I don't want 20, but 33 and 16 or 15 rather than 17 and 4. You know, because we've seen some quarterbacks around here go 17, 19. Weren't they? Wasn't it 19 and 4? What was it, Brian? 19 and 4 when David?
No, 19 and 2.
It was 18 and 3.
18 and 3.
Same thing.
So, I mean,
something like that.
And that to me tells you. That's the quarterback who's not taking his shots. He's not taking his chances. And I've told you that story. Many a quarterback has told me.
Well, 20 interceptions hasn't hurt him.
No.
They've got the number 3 seed in the playoffs.
And they're the only team in the AFC that has the top team in offense and a top 10 team in defense, the Bengals. So, yeah.
Just wondering if you might
look at that. Watkins
and
McCarron.
Well, okay, maybe that's it. Who knows? But it was A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, and that's how they paired it. Well,
but I think this team needs a big play. Take the top off that receiver.
I agree.
Well, and the numbers that Ryan wrote in his story on Sunday, and if you haven't read the story, it's worth reading, suggest that maybe that's worth looking at, that model, that go get that receiver. If there's one or two out there and it fits where you're at, grab him and then find the quarterback.
I used to do the four, and I'm amending it this year, because I used to do the four-pronged approach to playing football in the NFL.
Quarterback, left tackle, corner, pass rusher. Now you're adding
the
fifth.
You got to add the fifth. You got to have the big play, take the top off guy. You got to have a number one. The way the game is evolved.
Or Jimmy Graham.
Well, he counts. But something along. And they have plenty of guys, not that can't take the top off, but plenty of guys that supplement that.
I agree.
That you have to have the guy when it's 3rd and 9 who can go get you 15.
Well, and that's what A.J. Green has done. We saw it here last year when he was here. I mean, it was 3rd and 16 or 17, and he's gone up, ball in his hands. No one else could.
Maybe Cleveland will try to trade Josh Gordon again.
No, I don't think so.
Mike Lombardi, again. You never know.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think he's that stupid.
No, I don't.
All right, folks, visit Jaguars.com and check out Inside the Jaguars, driven by Tom Bush. Get caught up on all the latest Jaguars news and a chance to win the ultimate Jags game day experience. We continue from the HananiaAutos.com studio after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, one more segment, then we'll turn our attention to the rest of the NFL, where most of the action has been today. And this last segment of hour number one brought to you by PRI Productions. Pete Prisco's here. Tony Boselli is here. You can join us 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's stay on the theme of guys who could or could not be here. And the next one up is Jason Babin. Leads the team with 7.5 sacks. From that Leo position, older guy, big cap number. Do you want Jason Babin back here at any number next year? Or is this a case, like you talked about earlier with Maurice Jones-Drew, Tony, of doesn't matter, we're going young. Even if he works at a bargain, he's taking opportunities away from someone we could be developing.
Well, you know, what you worry about with Jason, I mean, what did he end up with, 6.5 sacks?
7.5.
7.5. I mean, it's not a bad year.
And the second half of the season, all Gus did was praise his effort and his locker room.
So here's my quandary impact with Jason Babin.
Okay.
I want him back. I'm not sure, not the number, but I want him back.
His number next year is like 6.5.
Yeah, I want him back because what he is in the locker room, in that meeting room. I mean, he's a good guy, good example, works hard. And listen, he had 7.5 sacks on a team that, you know, wasn't ahead a lot. So it wasn't like he was in a ton of fourth quarters where they were just, you know, everyone's throwing the ball trying to get back into it. I worry about his legs. He's getting up there in age, and you could see, I thought watching film at time, the more reps he had to take, his legs just didn't have the same pop a younger guy does, which is natural. I'm not taking any shots. I mean, my hat's off to him what he did this year.
So it's about the number that he'll play at, but it's also got to be balanced with how much he can give you in terms of number of snaps.
Wonder what he can give you.
So you can't drop him off to 10 snaps a game and give him 3 million.
What's he going to give you? I mean, this is year, 13 for him? Or
what do you pay him then?
I don't know. But
I don't think I bring him back.
I worry about him is just is, you know, how much juice does he have left? I mean, listen, he gave it all. And I love him for the way he plays the game. But, man, he's had a lot of rushes in his career. I mean, he's played a lot of football. And that's a tough position the older you get.
You got to get off that great in the locker room stuff a little bit.
It's not me. It's the head coach saying this.
But you'd be great in the locker room. You can't play anymore.
I'm not saying the great in the locker room guarantees you come back.
No.
I'm saying, but it's something you weigh. Listen, if a guy can't play, like you said, I think I'd be a great example in the locker room. I could really help those young guys, but I can't play.
Right. So I showed you that in the hallway a second ago.
No, I pretty much dominated you. Dominating you doesn't mean much.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't call it domination.
Oh, gosh. You're 5'5", 225.
No, you're 6'3". What are you, 6? You've shrunk a little bit since
I'm
you got older.
I'm 6'7".
Yeah, you're probably more like 6'5 now, 350.
No, I'm 6'7".
It is hard to go around 6'5", 350.
I'm 6'7".
In that hallway where the trunks of equipment are, too. Well, yeah, it doesn't make it any easier.
I picked my spot well. But he had 7.5 sacks this year, Pete.
Sometimes you got to look how the 7.5 sacks came.
He won some one-on-ones.
In spurts. You know what I mean?
He had 4 sacks in the last 5 games.
I don't know. Look, for the right price, million and a half or something maybe. But I'm not paying him anymore.
But here's my problem.
There's a million guys out there.
The reason I worry about for him, and I wouldn't if I was, again, the GM, the head coach, I almost would want to be up front with him. I'm not sure he makes the team. Because if you go get younger at that position, I mean, if Branch continues to improve, he's one of your Leos. You got Ryan Davis, who's improving. You got to believe they're going to go sign a couple free agents.
Did Branch get any better this year at creating on his own rather than taking advantage of opportunities that other people created with their rush?
He played much better knee bend.
Okay.
Much better.
He played harder.
Well, much harder.
But that was one of the things that Jeff talked about was he doesn't create enough on his own.
Sure he doesn't.
He takes advantage of other guys, which is fine, but if you're going to have him as one of your featured guys, he has to be able to create on his own.
I'm not saying he's ready to be a featured guy, but I'm saying he's going to be back.
Yeah, watch the tape, so I'm just asking your evaluation.
He's a guy that if he's smart, he'll get with Todd Washington and say, teach me how to use my hands. Because
he's not going out here against the left tackle and whipping him consistently by himself. He can loop around and get people on stunts and that kind of thing.
But he needs to get in the weight room with Tom Zielinski and get stronger legs, and then he needs to go to Todd Washington and teach me how to use my hands.
Okay.
Because he doesn't do it well enough yet. He just tries to use his natural athletic ability.
He raved to me about Wash in the locker room about a month ago when he was talking about how he had gotten better. He said it's all on Wash.
He has gotten better. We killed Andre Branch at the beginning.
Early on, yeah.
I give him a lot of credit.
He's improved.
He's gotten better. So my whole point of saying that is I respect Bama too much. I don't want to bring him back if I'm going to cut him in training camp.
Right. And there is always the possibility that they go and sign
him,
pass rush, too.
They're going to go find someone else.
And the other thing is, you're talking about 2015. Is Bama going to be around in 2015?
No.
So why bring him back then? Go. Play young kids. It doesn't matter.
Would you spend money in free agency on a pass rusher?
If it's Greg Hardy, I would.
What about the guy in Cincinnati?
I'd like to get him.
I'd consider the guy in Cincinnati, too.
But he's not a sack guy.
Michael Johnson.
He hasn't had a lot of – he was last year. This year he's got a lot of pressures but not a lot of sacks. That concerns me a little bit. But I tell you what.
Against the run.
Fantastic against the run. And he gets pressure. He does get pressure.
You're talking about
Johnson, quarterback
now, right?
Yeah,
Michael Johnson.
But the guy you've been talking
about. I'll take Greg Hardy instead.
Okay.
You have Michael Johnson. I'll take
Greg
Hardy.
I take Greg Hardy too. I take Greg Hardy over Michael Johnson.
Can they pay him in Carolina?
I think they're going to keep him. I think they'll keep. They can't pay Michael Johnson in Cincinnati. They won't because they have contract. AJ Green's contract's coming up, so that's an issue. They just paid Geno. They paid Dunlap. They made the decision. Remember, he was a franchise guy. They made the decision to go pay Dunlap. They probably gave him that offer. He didn't take it. They tagged him, and now he's sitting there, and he's probably going to be an unrestricted free agent.
And you look at Carolina. They can get rid of those. Couple of those backs, save some cap room there. I mean,
and worst case scenario, I think you tag Hardy
one more year at least.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great combination.
He's a beast. I think your pass rusher has to come from the draft. You got to find that guy. I mean, if you're going to, if it's not one of those two, and we've seen the history of guys who get signed, they don't, they usually go get signed and don't do as well.
How old is Michael Johnson?
26.
You love that number.
Love that number. It's name, because people get so enamored with the guy who's on the slope end, the back end. It's done. You know what I mean? It's over. Your best years are behind you. Why pay him for your worst years? You might get one out of them. Why not get four out of them or five?
All right, folks. We've
I
hit
don't
the
disagree.
End of hour number one. One more hour of Jaguars Monday on this season. Live from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. News is next from News Talk WOKV. Now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Live from the HannityAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Monday with Brian Sexton, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Baptist Health System and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
All right, hour two of Jaguars Monday, and we start with the idea that you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Escape when you see your Southern Ford dealer. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Hour number two also means the Copy Facts face-off coming up after the first break. We turn our attention to the National Football League as a whole, and Black Monday obviously has become like Black Friday, a day that everyone in the National Football League looks forward to. I don't know if it's
unless
forward.
Unless you're head coach.
I don't, yeah, well, forward is not necessarily the right term. They look too because you understand that it's going to be a disruptive day in the National Football League. And how about it? I mean, Chudzinski caught everyone off guard in Cleveland yesterday. Folks knew Shanahan was likely to go. Same thing with Leslie Frazier. I'm not sure. I mean, was the word on the street that Greg Schiano was going to be going?
Some people thought he saved his job, but once you blew out the general manager, then he had to go.
Right, and obviously
it was a package deal.
The other guy today to go was Jim Schwartz up in
had to go
in Detroit. So and. Don't forget, the other opening is in Houston, where
six guys
Gary
gone.
Kubiak's been gone.
Six guys gone so far.
It could be.
There could be.
Looks like Jason Garrett's going to come back.
Well, what about Dennis Allen in Oakland?
Dennis Allen might not make it. Munchak might not make
right.
it. And Philbin might not make it.
Right.
Philbin even. I know that they're talking about some changes to the staff. I didn't realize it had gone that deep.
Ross came out and basically said he's evaluating both the head coach and the GM and that changes will be made, but he has no decision made yet.
I think Ireland will go, and I think Philbin will stay.
Okay.
But then that's just a matter of time because you bring another GM, and he's gone.
Right.
Well, the interesting
part point is there could be nine jobs. After eight last year, there could be nine this year. There's already at least six. Where are you going to go find head coaches to fill these spots?
We were talking about that yesterday, and I look around. I'm like, where? Who are you getting? Jack Del Rio.
I should put my name in.
Well, yeah, Jack's name has surfaced in Minnesota.
Can you start putting my name out there?
You've never been a coach anywhere
before. I have too, at Providence High School.
Doesn't count.
Why?
Doesn't
coached
count.
At the highest level, high
didn't
school.
Count. You didn't win.
Our offensive line rushed for 2,000 yards.
You didn't win. You got to win. No, look, seriously,
put my name out there.
It is just coach and Tony, and you, I'm kidding you about that, but I have.
Why is the NFL not like the NBA where they get ex-players and just throw them in there?
Right.
Not that it works all the time, but sometimes it does.
Well, there was an ex-player who once was a coach here.
No, but he actually coached. I'm saying, but you look at the NBA.
You look I know,
at the
like
NBA,
a guy's career's done, and he goes
like Mark Jackson.
Or Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, that was bad. But Mark Jackson did the TV for like 4 years, and they said, oh, he's a smart guy. We'll make him the head coach of Golden State, and he did well.
No, Doc Rivers won a
Doc
championship
Rivers.
In
never coached
in
anywhere, was the TV guy, and they said, here, be a coach. Why is the NFL not like that?
Because you got to pay your dues and work 20 hours a day and learn how to.
And I'm fine with that, but some of those guys can't coach that pay their dues.
Well, and again.
Right? Am I wrong?
I think
it's clear that there are some guys who can't pay their.
But I guess there's guys.
But
that
where are
dues.
The guys coming from?
I don't
Tony?
Know.
Where are they coming from?
There are guys who are great position coaches and coordinators who are not good head coaches. And I always laugh when you have owners who, just because they're great coordinators, automatically think they're going to be great head coaches. The qualifications for being a coordinator have nothing to do. Absolutely nothing to do with the qualifications of being a great head coach. A great coordinator is a X's and O's guy, is a good teacher, can, scheme and call plays and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to do any of that stuff to be a great head coach. You have to be a great leader and a great communicator and a great organizer to be a head coach. Now, that's why I think Gus Bradley is the find. It was a great find by Dave Caldwell. Now, he was a good coordinator at Seattle, they had success, but obviously whoever, I don't even know who the coordinator, defense coordinator there is this year.
Dan Quinn is getting interviewed. So he's Minnesota.
I mean, they have good personnel, and Gus did a great job, and Dan Quinn took over and is doing a good job. I mean, absolutely.
It helps to have damn good players, too.
I agree. But Gus Bradley is a leader, a great communicator, and can organize and motivate. That's why he's a great head coach.
Well, he's not a great head coach yet.
Okay. That's why he has the opportunity. He has the opportunity. Right. No, but you would say after 1 year, great is the wrong word. Why he did a great job this year with this team. And obviously, you could tell that he has the ability to be a good head coach. And there's the signs are there that it's going in the right direction.
Where no
immediately you see certain guys that become head coaches, you're like, he's not a head coach.
Well, I'm going to ask you this. And did you know right away Tom was going to be a good head coach?
I know right away. I was in the wrong position. And I told Brian this, and I don't know if you hear this. I would never, ever, ever listen to players and what they think when they're players. Because we're jaded.
Right, of course.
I mean, we all wanted to kill Tom, so I wouldn't have said he's a good – but now looking back – and having a perspective of what he was doing and knowing him and the leader that he is, yeah, he's a good head coach.
I did.
And that's why, I mean, the same with whether it's Gus or whoever.
But you guys hated Tom.
I know, but
that, now you respect Tom.
But you can't ask players, Pete.
Well, no.
Players should have no say on what goes on in an organization.
I agree. Because I think players want, need, and yearn to have discipline. And then they act like they don't. Tony just got his pizza delivered.
Thank you very much.
Where's the bite for Brian and myself?
I did know that Tom was going to be, because of the way that he prepared, because of the extensive time he had spent both in college and the pros with some good coaches, I knew he was going to be a good head coach. Now, what my question was he going to be a great leader? Because he was so dogmatic, he was so controlling, I didn't know whether that would, and there was a time in 1996 where none of us knew whether that was going to translate or not. And then, of course, it did. But back then, I remember thinking, this guy's going to be a winner.
If he hadn't changed a bit, and he changed here. He changed in New York.
Oh, yeah.
He hadn't changed
Don't doubt that.
He would have been a flop.
Well, yeah, but there's lots of guys, though.
Yeah, but part of being a good leader is
learning from your mistakes.
Correct, and I give him a lot of credit for that. Hey, I've been around a lot of head coaches in this league. I was around him on a daily basis. He's as good and as organized and as detailed and as every bit. Did he make mistakes on game day? Plenty of them.
They all do, though.
Plenty of them.
You know what he was? He was a good coach, but he was not a good evaluator of talent. So when he had both of those hats on, he put himself
too
in
much,
a bind.
It was too much. Tom, the head coach, was fired by Tom, the personnel guy.
Exactly. And when Tom got Ernie Accorsi and Jerry Reese taking care of that for him and he could just coach... Well, you saw how good he is.
Well,
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
My whole point is
I do too.
My whole point is saying I don't know where you find him. I don't think just because you're a good coordinator means you're going to be a good head coach, because I think they're two different job descriptions, two different qualifications. And I think we've seen that here and other places.
Exactly.
And so I always laugh when, you know, if you get the list, it's all the hot coordinators. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, Mike Tomlin's a perfect example. Mike Tomlin was a 1 year coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings on a team that didn't make the playoffs, was under 500, and was average on defense. But he got an interview, and you can say why he got the interview or whatever reason, but obviously the guy is a leader and a good head coach and a good football I mean, he's a CEO type guy. He leads that organization. Was he ever a great coordinator? I don't know. Who cares? I mean,
he also has
only 1 year in Minnesota
running the defense, arguably the greatest defense.
That's part of being a great. That's part of being a great.
And he has Ben Roethlisberger, and he inherited a team that won a Super Bowl with the same exact players. So,
but they keep on. But okay, 0-4.
They haven't been in the postseason in the last 2 years.
0-4. They went last year, didn't they?
No.
0-4 to start the season. 2-6. And found a way to rally that team and got them to 8-8.
I agree. Did a good job this year.
That's my point. I mean, listen, but part of being a good leader is getting the right people around you.
2 years, no playoffs for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Does Chip Kelly's success this year lead other – going to be a lot of jobs open to go to the college ranks and look for that guy?
I try to get David Shaw, but he's not leaving.
I think he's pretty much said
he's
not
going.
He's a heck of a coach.
He loves what he's got at Stanford.
And he's been in the NFL. He's coached in the NFL.
I'd go get him.
That's the number – I think Bill O'Brien will be a good head coach, but
everything I hear about him he did a great job at Penn State,
I heard his interview in Houston didn't go that well.
And he stood some teams up last year when Bill Belichick stopped him and said, "Hey,
Interview did not go well. I thought that was a done deal.
I don't know if it's. I've heard through the grapevine that the interview was.
And they're getting anxious up in Happy Valley because if he's leaving, they want to go find their next coach before someone else, Texas, hires the hot next coach. So they want him to make a decision pretty quickly. And I read someone that said if he doesn't leave this year, he ain't going to be able to leave for a couple years because they're not going to put up with that every year at Penn State. So now may be the time, and Detroit may be the job.
Then you look around. Okay, the name you hear is Josh McDaniels. And I ripped Josh McDaniels to no end when he was the head coach in Denver. Remember,
he picked
a stiff. But he
wasn't great coordinator in Miami. I mean, at St. Louis either.
No, but I think Josh McDaniels, if he does not have personnel decision powers, will come back around and become a good head coach. I think the
is
next
Tom time, Brady going with him?
No.
Oh.
But the next time around, I think he'll be a better head coach. I do.
Tom Brady's not going with him?
No.
Okay.
No. But I do.
I think you probably should keep him there then.
He might be the coach in waiting in New England. That's another thing. That's another possibility for him.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Been so busy tonight, we haven't even turned to the phones. Let's try and grab someone. It's Brad, who's in Denver, of all places. Your old stomping ground, Baselli.
Yep.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. I mean, I agree with you the read option was dead, but I've been telling my friends all year that, you know, you can't have a quarterback survive for 16 years, but four games it could work out. Do you guys see that coming back? With 49ers for the playoffs, or is it truly dead, as Pete says?
Well, Pete's wrong. It's been around all year. If you go look at the 49ers, they run it.
They don't run it much, though.
Seattle runs it.
It's not
the Redskins run it. They're awful. Several teams do run
it. Seattle doesn't run it that much anymore either. Nobody. They run very little of it.
Several teams run the read option.
It's very
little. Heck, Chad Henne ran the read option. That's all you need to know.
It's very little. It's almost gone.
So Pete's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's
talking
about.
It's almost gone.
It's oh well. You said it would be gone by Thanksgiving.
Well, it's gone as
a
primary offense.
No,
it's gone as a primary part of an offense, and it's a mix in play. You might use like a reverse once in a while.
Go watch the two teams that are going to be in the NFC title. They both run it.
What, the unbeatable team from Seattle?
I'm just saying,
that lost last week.
Go look
because they couldn't run because they couldn't move the football because they can't pass the football.
Go look at the two teams that'll be in the NFC title game. They both run the read option.
What are you guys going to argue about when we get to the
Green Bay's going to beat San Francisco this week?
Well, right there is what we're going to argue about.
All right. Let's grab one more call, and then we will have the copy fax face-off. David's on the south side. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Just had a quick question. You guys talking a lot about, you know.
Oh, we lost you. We have to get you back.
We hung up.
David, call us back. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-635, and we'll get you before the copy fax face-off if you call back. You're listening to Jaguars Monday, the final 45 minutes of what has been a fun show all season long here at the HananiaAutos.com studio. Come back with us, folks, after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, phone lines are open at 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. I don't think we've got David back yet. Nope, here he is. We're going to grab David real quick, and then we'll do the face-off with Pete and Tony. So, David, how are you?
Doing great, guys.
Welcome back.
Just a quick thanks. No problem. I just wanted to ask a quick question. You guys talked a lot about the locker room presence, and I remember in 96, after Andre Rison was let go, you guys went on the run. I was wondering if that was a fluke or if that had actually something to do with what had happened.
It's you.
I don't know. That's a great question. I'll say this. Everyone was mad that day and wanted to kill anybody who was in the locker room that was not a part of the team and would bring it up, as Pete probably could attest to.
There was, I remember,
some unhappy people in the locker room.
That was ugly.
You walk in, they're all sitting at his feet.
So, I don't know. Maybe it brought us together. I'll say what it did more than anything, got Jimmy Smith on the field. And so we were better with Andre. It had nothing to do with the locker room, I'm not sure, but we were better with Jimmy playing all those snaps instead of Andre. So that made us a better team.
Well, you knew Jimmy was going to go to the right place usually.
And Jimmy was a better player.
But I mean, Andre was – remember that was when he went to Pittsburgh and he was in the wrong place and Mark threw an interception.
Two picks.
And Mark got all angry and went to the coach. Supposedly, allegedly, and told him he had to get rid. He had to get rid of him. True or false, Baselli?
I don't know anything about that.
That's true.
I don't know that.
That he doesn't know.
That he doesn't know. No, it's true that he went in. He went to the coach and told him he's got to go. That's what I was told.
No idea.
Wait, it's 20 years later, and you're playing dumb on that. Come on.
I don't know.
1996, right?
I don't know.
Okay, so how many years ago was that?
It was 18 seasons ago.
Okay, so let the cat out of the bag. You know. You were friends with Brunel.
No idea.
That was a Del Rio move there, with a question being asked to put the water bottle to your lips.
I was thirsty.
That was one of his, that's his favorite move.
To wash down the six slices he's having.
I don't know.
That's
but
what happened.
We were better because Jimmy was on the field.
But that's what happened. And because Maselli will never, God forbid he would say that.
Let's keep the heat in on this.
Right? God forbid he would say that, but that's what happened.
All right. So let's go to the CopyFax Face-Off, brought to you by our friends at CopyFax. Final one of the season.
So what is the right?
I think it's pretty even. I think it's pretty even.
Are you crazy?
Some people would say that I am.
I think I've won every one.
You were just telling me how great the Steelers were, and you had them out of the playoffs.
I told you at the beginning they wouldn't
make
the playoffs.
You said they were done. No, you said they were done.
I was, and I was right.
If the NFL had called the rule right yesterday, they wouldn't have been done.
Well, all right, so
they screwed up.
What's the topic?
The Packers are going to be the 49ers.
They're
this
not.
Week.
It's
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Quarterback.
Love.
I'm trying to think of a stronger word than love.
Infatuation.
Infatuation. Right. I heard that's what infatuation. Pete's infatuation.
Not
with
quite.
The
not quite to lust.
His lust.
Lust.
His
infatuation.
Yeah. His deep-seated desire for the quarterback.
Yes.
For Aaron Rodgers.
Let's do. Yes. Yes.
To be with him and to be close to him and to cheer
him on. You're getting a little carried away.
High five him.
Now you're getting carried away.
You're the best, Aaron. I love you, Aaron. You're amazing. That love, that infatuation is blinding Pete to the fact that the 49ers are 1,000 times better than the Green Bay Packers, and they're going to kick the you-know-what out of them on both sets of lines. They're going to go up and down the field. They're going to rush for 200 yards. Kaepernick's going to throw it around. And they're going to clobber. Alden Smith and Justin Smith are going to kill Aaron Rodgers. They're going to kill him. It's going to be a 14-point victory at minimum for the 49ers.
Spoken like a true meathead, okay? That's an offensive lineman speaking right there. Meathead, you gotta line up and play power football and knock people back and hit them in the mouth. That's a meathead talking, okay? You're a meathead. Get with the times, Maselli. It's a quarterback league. Aaron Rodgers cures ills. Bad quarterbacks expose them. One of the quarterbacks in that game can pass the football, and it isn't Colin Kaepernick. It's in Green Bay. They're at home. Yes, the 49ers have defeated them three times in the last year and a half, once at Green Bay. This time will be different. Aaron Rodgers is back.
Last time they went to Green Bay, it was a blowout, and the 49ers took it to them. The time in San Francisco, it was closed for 2.5 quarters. Then the body blows of San Francisco wore out Green Bay, which is a finesse theme.
That was in the playoff game you're talking about. Dom Capers.
If I can interject just for a moment. In the last meeting, which was opening day this year, the Packers took away the run, and Kaepernick threw for what?
420
yards? Yeah. So that,
that
was
didn't happen again, I guarantee
you.
No.
Heck why?
No. Because he's not a good passer. It was an aberration. He had one. That was the only game this year that he was worth a damn.
One team's 12-4, one team's 8-7-1. One team will beat.
The one team played six games without the starting quarterback. You're proving my point to me. They were an ascending team ready to step up and become a 12-4 team until he went down.
Who do you think you're, Tom Coughlin? They were ascending team.
They were.
Ascending.
Hey, you know what?
We're ascending.
Ascending.
Is that like arm talent? Is that Trent Dilfer like?
That's Trent Dilfer talk.
Pete
Foot
Coughlin,
energy.
Prisco.
Yeah. They were an ascending team, and he got hurt, and he just showed. That proves, you just proved my point again, how valuable. Go ahead, play that love music again. How valuable the quarterback position. If you have that guy, it cures all your problems. Even if you have a stiff offensive line, and
Pete has on his ceiling in his room, so as he looks
some
up.
Fat heads?
He has fat heads of Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning. And
all four
all
will be
throughout the room.
And all four will be playing next.
And
all four will be playing next week, by the way. Because Drew Brees is going into Philadelphia and winning.
I agree with that.
So all four will be playing next week.
No, they won't. Aaron Rodgers will not be playing.
Yes, he will be.
No, they won't. And then Drew Brees will be done after he goes to Seattle and loses that game.
Because, that's, of course, they're the most unbeatable team at home in the history of football, as we found out 2 weeks ago.
I'll just tell you right now what's going to happen. Saints are going to beat Philly. 49ers will beat Green Bay. Green Bay will go into
San Francisco
will go into Carolina and beat them. Drew Brees will go into Seattle and get plummeted. I mean, just pummeled. I mean, just obliterated. And then it's going to be the two best teams in the NFC. Two best teams in the NFL are going to play.
Because the meathead sees their physical offensive lines. Meathead football. You're crazy. You know what's going to happen?
Rodgers, your lust is blinding.
Rodgers is going to beat. Rodgers is going to beat the 49ers.
You're like a guy looking at a dirty
Brees
magazine
gonna,
when you talk about Brees
is gonna
quarterbacks.
Brees is going to beat.
That's what he's like,
you know
Joe.
Why? Because
it's like
great
like
offensive
dirty magazine.
Because all those great offensive lines win Super Bowls every year. That's why. Is that why? Last time I checked, I think it's quarterbacks who win Super Bowls. Don't they?
If you could see the look in Baselli's face right now. All right, and the winner is?
That's the Sun Devil fight song.
Well, I'm just sorry that we won't be doing the show next week because when the 49ers win by 14, trust me, on Thursday night when we're doing the show, Brian, I'll remind everybody.
Send a text. I'll take your text.
There'll be a tweet.
Everything.
I don't think the Packers – I don't know if the Packers defense can play –
They have no chance.
Play as well as they did on opening day.
They have no chance.
I know Rodgers is terrific.
Barely beat the Bears. Barely. It took a 4th-and-8 conversion to beat the Chicago Bears, who are awful.
How does weather factor into it?
It favors the 49ers because if it's nasty and ugly, they're going to just punch them even harder in the mouth.
Because that's what meatheads do. You're crazy. Who's going to win it all? Who's going to win it all? Give me your team. You think Seattle's winning it all?
Seattle or the 49ers.
You don't think Denver can win it all?
No.
So you've just in his right here as we
I don't
sit
think
here.
Denver's going to make it.
But as we sit here, he's just
I think Cincinnati's going to beat Denver.
In the championship. So Cincinnati's going to play in the Super Bowl?
Cincinnati and either San Francisco or Seattle.
Well, I pick Cincinnati to win it all, so I make me look good. But I think when you look at it, he just threw away Brees. He just threw away Rodgers. In his Super Bowl prediction, he just threw away Manning and Brady.
I know it pains you to think about
that. No, I just think that's just stupidity. One of those guys is going to be there ready to win the whole thing. One of them.
Maybe it. But I can see Peyton. That's the one I can see. It's the only one I can see.
So you think the chalk teams, the supposed power teams that everybody talks about, the two chalk, because everybody thinks San Francisco and Seattle are the two best teams.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to play for the title?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. I think this postseason is going to be as wacky as we've ever seen.
Maybe.
I think somewhere in it's
I
not
can see
as,
Peyton Manning going.
There's a 96, your team came from somewhere and went somewhere and scared the you know, the daylights out of everybody. You almost went to the Super Bowl, and Carolina did it the same year.
Right.
There's going to be somebody to do
Carolina
that this year.
Carolina was 12-4, though, that year.
Yeah, but there's going to be somebody to do that this year. One of these, it might be the Saints, it might be the Packers. Might be Cincinnati. Somebody. This isn't going to be chalk. I don't see chalk.
Well, I don't think it's
going to
be chalk
Most
either.
People think it is going to be chalk. That's the, you know, they haven't had the two number one seeds play since when? Since
2009, New Orleans, Indianapolis.
Right. Last time. That ain't happening again.
Tell you something, Mr. Bunker. No, let me tell you something, Mr. Stivic. You are a meathead.
Right off of Archie Bunker.
And with that, we've come to the end of yet another half hour. Only 30 more minutes of this great radio show left, folks. And it's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. We're back after the news. Which is next from our friends over at News Talk WOKB. And then we will talk more about the playoffs, about Black Monday, and about the Jaguars with you here on our final Monday night show of the season. News is next from News Talk WOKB, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, what do we got? 25 minutes left in the show. Hey, you know, when they fired Rob Chudzinski yesterday, it was reported that he was surprised, obviously, because he hasn't even been on the job a full year. But it's now becoming a bit of a trend. Last year, the Jaguars fired Mike Mularkey, and the Raiders fired Hugh Jackson, who had only been in the job for 1 year, and he was 8-8. Jim Moore Jr. got 1 year with the Seahawks in 2009. Cam Cameron got 1 year with
Pete
the Dolphins.
Carroll.
Yeah, Pete Carroll. Got they replaced him with Pete Carroll. Absolutely.
Now, Pete Carroll had one.
In the early 90s. But in the last 6 years, five coaches have been fired after 1 year, and that looks like it's becoming
a
trend.
All different.
No, every situation's different.
Number one, if you get a new GM, all bets are off. That's what happened here. That's what happened, I mean, frankly, in Cleveland.
He was hired, then Lombardi was hired after him.
But the other issue is I kind of believe if you know the guy's the wrong guy, cut bait and get on with it. Why wait around?
Right. I would agree with that.
Now, I don't know the Chud situation, but rumors have it he's not the greatest individual or nice guy. That he's not warm and fuzzy you want to hang out with.
Neither was Mike Mularkey.
So,
you're dealing with a lot of guys and a lot of money, though. I mean, at some point.
$10.5 million. Fire me for $10.5 million.
Pete made a great point. I don't always agree with Pete because Pete is the most soulless, materialistic individual I know.
Yes.
I mean, he really has no soul.
Yes, I don't
deny
that.
It's been proven scientifically.
Right.
But he was right. I don't feel sorry for Chud at all. You got $10.5 million. Seriously, I feel sorry for the assistants and their families, and especially
Well, I'll give you a guy.
Like the offensive assistants or defensive assistants that are making no money and move their whole family there.
Well, no, they're not making
no
money anymore.
As far as moving your whole family,
now you got to move. Now you got to move. Again.
I feel sorry for all those with kids and but the head coach, $10.5 million
coordinators. You don't feel sorry for. They're making over $1.5 million.
No, really the head coach. I mean, $10.5 million. It's
right.
Like,
yeah. But North Turner was making pretty good.
North's
change.
North's fine too.
Right. So
he's old. He's old.
And
he doesn't care.
They went and hired Ray Horton.
Now they met with the assistants this morning and said, "Hold off. We might keep some of you."
Right. Well, you would think that they would keep Ray Horton.
What about North?
Depends on what kind of offense you want to run.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is
Josh Gordon might want
to. Adam Gase has declined to speak to the Browns or anybody else until after the playoffs are over with.
He must not want to be a head coach.
That's odd.
Well, wait a sec. I mean, it's his first year as a coordinator, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, maybe he doesn't feel like he's ready to go.
Well, this is the problem.
Yeah, and maybe
guess
he's
what?
One of the smart guys who says, I'm not ready to be the head coach.
That's a problem because you might never get another chance.
Well, Gary Kubiak turned some people down over the years before taking the Texans job.
How do we know Adam Gase is a good coordinator? His Peyton Manning. Manning's calling the plays.
I can tell you so.
How do we know he's a good player? Right. I mean, maybe he is.
I know Adam Gase a little bit.
Maybe he knows.
I met him.
He's not ready.
I met him and talked to him a couple times. Got to know him a little bit. I think he's a very good offensive coordinator. I think he'll be very good. He's got a lot of Mike Martz influences on him. And Mike Martz is a darn good offensive coach. But I mean, he's not like Mike Martz, but he also – Adam Gase started his coaching career working for Nick Saban as a graduate assistant. And so he's worked for some good people. So the natural thing to say is what you say, that Peyton's running the offense. And, yeah, it probably is. But Peyton ran Tom Moore, too, for years, too.
And yeah, and maybe Gase learned something from Manning that helps him become a better coach.
So I think he will. Adam Gase's family lives here in Jacksonville, by the way. His mother and father live in St. Augustine. His brother, and I never knew this, when I used to do my show, this guy would call my show when he was working in Denver as a receivers coach, whatever. And he'd call my show and he'd say, "Hey, what about Adam Gase as a receiver coach? What do you think?" And I go, "Yeah, he's, you know, going." So I asked Adam Gase, I said, "You got a cousin or a relative or somebody that lives in Jacksonville?" His brother lives here. He used to call my show all the time.
It's ridiculous.
But he's a good coach. But the fact that he's declining the opportunity to interview.
I don't like it.
Is a little odd to me. I'm grabbing it.
Well, wait a second. We just talked about the fact, though, that in the last hour about coaches and where they're coming from, and the best coordinator doesn't necessarily make the best head coach.
Yeah, but listen, you think. I mean,
but that could be true, but from his standpoint, you got to go interview.
So is he admitting he's not going to be a good head coach?
Well, no, but maybe he's actually taking the time to say, "I'm not ready to be the head coach. I haven't been in the coordinator's role long enough."
I just said it doesn't matter. You know, Mike Tomlin was a coordinator for like a minute. I don't think you ever have to be a coordinator to be a great head coach. John Harbaugh was a special teams coordinator.
Well, maybe he's just not ready.
I'll tell you who I would
Again, matter. Kubiak, I used to think Kubiak was nuts, and he turned down Texas A&M, and he turned down the Cleveland Browns, and it turned out okay for him. He had a good run in Houston.
I would hire Mike Zimmer.
You've been talking about him for a long time.
A lot of people have.
I just like the culture he would bring, I'm barring your word.
Yeah, come on, Pete. Jump on the bandwagon.
No, I don't. No, your culture. I understand your the culture.
Your culture.
But
your culture.
The winning form stuff, which is a whole other argument. But he would bring a nastiness to a team. That, for example... Say you're the Texans. They're soft. I don't care what anybody says. J.J. Watt's not soft, but they have a reputation for being soft. For whatever reason, they do. Zimmer would go in there and make it nasty. And take Vontaze Burfict. And I'm a Sun Devil. I watched Vontaze Burfict his entire career at ASU. He was fat. He was overweight. He had a ton of talent. He got a ton of penalties. He was out of control. Mike Zimmer brought him in the opening. First day, they brought him in as undrafted free agent. And he said, "Look, this is what you're going to do, and you're going to do it my way. You're going to get out of here." Boy, trimmed down. He had a good rookie season. So you expect, okay, a young undrafted rookie might do that. But when he comes back the second year, he's in even better shape. He's going to the Pro Bowl. That's telling about a coach. And I think Mike Zimmer can do that. I think he'd bring in the right people, and he'd bring in a nastiness to a team. But you know what?
Why
he doesn't interview well. He doesn't interview well. He'll tell an owner what he thinks rather than what he thinks the owner wants to hear. And owners get turned off by that. Supposedly his interviews haven't been very well. You've talked to Mike Zimmer in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, I like him.
It's like a truck driver, right? I mean, the mouth on the guy is just – I mean, he makes me sound like I don't curse.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. That would go that far. Yeah,
all right. That's an exaggeration. All right.
But and I think he turns off some of the owners, Tony. I really do. But to me –
Well, he's not as polished.
No. But to me, that's what I – I don't care if you're polished. I don't care what you do going up. I care what you do. In other words, you get hired here. Who you're dealing with up here? What you're doing in that locker room? Who you're below you? The people you're coaching. I don't care about if you're doing things, rubbing elbows with the people in the front office and all that. That's all gravy. What you're doing in that locker room is what matters more than it. It's the people below you, not above you.
It's how you lead,
right? And so,
why is he never? I mean, just is it that easy? Is that simple? Is he never got? I mean, just yeah, so he doesn't interview well?
Yeah, and his name's not like you see the Jack's name's out there again, and Dan Quinn, who's been a coordinator in the NFL now for a year because he just came from Florida. Their names are all out there. It's ridiculous. Why? And I actually wrote a thing last year and sat with Zimmer about it. He has no idea. He has no idea.
How old is he? I mean, is this a case of a guy who's past that young coach?
I think he's about 54 or something.
That's not old. Well, it's interesting. You know, Bruce Arians would have never, ever got a head coaching opportunity if he did not do what he did last year. And look what he's done in Arizona.
They love him out there.
He's a dang good head coach.
Yeah. And, I mean, they love the guy. And you know, Steve Keim raves about him. I mean, it's a great arena, good coach, good hire, and he gets it. That's what you need. Find the guy, like you said, manage everybody. You don't have to be the greatest X and O's in the world.
Leader.
But you have
motivate
to
people.
But you also have to be willing to trust the guys you hire.
Yeah.
But
that's
also
part of being a leader. You have
but
to
also
lead
be
your
willing to step in and tell them, look, I think we need to do this, this, and this a little bit more. Don't do it on. Remember when Tom used to interfere with Gilbride all the time? And you know this story, right? Kevin went to him and said, he threw the thing at him and said, you call the plays. It was a 95, I think it was, or 96. He said, here, you call the plays. He threw the thing at him. He told Tom, he said, look, you don't want me to do it. You interfere with anything I do. You do it yourself. Tom took about a day, stepped back from it, and said, you know what? You're right. You call the plays. And then you guys got on a run there. You know, I used to joke with, and then Kevin left, and Chris took over. He did the same thing to Chris. You know, Chris, I used to joke with Chris Palmer saying that he's the all-time interceptor leader for the Jacksonville Jaguars because all his play calls were intercepted on the way out to the quarterback. I mean, but Tom was that way. You had to stand up to Tom. I think if you stood up to Tom and you did the work and he saw that you did the work, he respected you for that.
You're right.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you.
Same for me.
But part about being a good head coach, it's leadership. It's leading not only the players, but leading your coaching staff and getting the right guys and understanding how to allow them to be themselves, allow them, you know, because that's why you bring them in, give them the room to coach their philosophy, but under the culture that you've set, but at the same time be able to interject and lead them to where you want to go. That's why I say being a great coordinator doesn't mean you're a great leader. It just means you know football. That's fine. There's a lot of great, smart football guys that couldn't coach high school very well.
Sometimes we lose sight of this. It's just football, okay? It's just football.
Don't tell anyone that, Pete.
No, and me and you have had that conversation.
You get paid a lot of money because people think it's more than just football.
But we've had that talk
about. And that's
about,
the key. No, that's why coaches think that way.
And I'm going to use this as an example. I'm going to use John Elway.
$5 million,
a lot
it's
of,
not just
and
football.
And I've talked to you about this because I think you could do it too. But John Elway, when he was hired, there were people, guys who came up through the ranks that had their doubts about him. Right? He wasn't a scout. He never went out and he was a scout. He never came through the ranks. John Elway's car is the first one there, and he loves it. He works it. He watches tape. He dives into it. It's just he's John Elway. He knows what looks good on the field. He can look at a tape and tell you this guy's good, this guy's not. It's just football, and that's what I mean when I say that.
I agree with you.
Because like you, I think you could do it. I think you could. I think you
could. I do too. That's the problem.
Yeah. just, I think I could do
just
it.
Just listen to him.
That's the problem. but, well, I mean, listen, I think it, No, we agree. I mean, listen, if you love the game of football and you know football, but you have to be a leader, and not everyone can lead.
See, I couldn't do that. I would be. I wouldn't want to. That's not like me. I've never organized a practice. You probably could do that. But the general, I don't know if I could ever be a general manager in the league, but personnel guy sitting in a room watching the tape, I wouldn't want to deal with all the contract crap. And
oh,
all
I see.
That.
I think that'd be fun.
I mean, I like the parameters of it, but I wouldn't want the specifics of it. Okay, you.
But it goes back to my question, Pete. Why in the NBA do you have guys?
I don't know.
Who go in with no?
Because they roll out the balls. That's why.
Maybe that's it.
I mean, you give me LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. I'm winning you 50. I'm the coach tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, Pete Prisco's the coach of the Miami Heat. I'm winning you 50.
But you look like Steve Kerr. Was it Phoenix made him the GM and never been a GM before?
Right.
Danny Ferry. I mean, you go through the list of guys. I mean, Charles Barkley, I guarantee
Danny Ferry went to Duke. He's a pretty bright guy.
I guarantee you this. Within 5 years, Charles Barkley will be the president or GM of a basketball, NBA basketball.
No, he's not going to leave that cushy job.
I guarantee it.
Let's take a break. When we come back, final segment of the show for the season, we'll go through the playoff games.
No tears.
We'll go through San Diego, Cincinnati, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Kansas City, Indianapolis, here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, we've got about 8 minutes left in the show. You argued for at least 8 minutes about San Francisco at Green Bay, so I have no idea what I'm thinking going game by game with you guys on this one. But maybe you'll agree, and it'll shorten the process.
We won't agree.
Let's stay in the AFC, San Diego at Cincinnati.
We'll agree.
Yeah, we Cincinnati. Both agree on that one. Cincinnati.
Big any two. Chance Any chance Philip Rivers comes in and, and does
yeah, with Phil Rivers,
what he did in Denver and Kansas City?
Yes, with Philip Rivers, you do have a chance.
I'm a big Philip Rivers guy. I just think they're 28th in on pass defense. I think there's going to be many opportunities down
the
field.
Well, they're not very talented defensively. Right.
Well, Weddle's good, but that's about it.
I'm just saying, but they don't have much talent.
Have the front seven that they use.
I know John Pagano, their defense coordinator, and their linebacker coach is my roommate in college, and I know for a fact, I mean, if you watch them, and I joke with John about this, I'm like, you blitz coming off the bus. And he feels like he has to, because they can't get any pressure or do anything playing a normal defense. So they're all over the place, meaning they can get gashed if a team hits them right. And with A.J. Green, and I mean –
yeah, I think Cincinnati puts up a number.
I do too.
Cincinnati's averaging 35 points in their, I think, at home this year. 34. They're going to get a lot of points.
All right, so let's jump to the Saturday games. Then it will go with Kansas City at Indianapolis.
The spread is weird in that game. They're 2-point favorites in that game, and they went to Kansas City 2 weeks
ago.
Handily beat them. The difference is, it's weird. Kansas City might be faster on their turf than they are at home, and by that I mean Jamaal Charles. On the inside stuff will be faster than he is outside. Their pass rushers will probably be faster inside, and they've been hurt than they are outside. So, you know, you're going inside to play where Indianapolis plays. Kansas City might actually benefit from that. Having said all that, you can have Alex Smith. I'll take Andrew Luck.
You're crazy. I think Andrew Luck is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. You can have the Chiefs and Alex Smith. I'm taking Andrew Luck.
I'm not going through all these gyrations of whatever you just said about Kansas City.
By the
City
way, he's working
them.
His way up to the roof.
I'm going I'm going to Indianapolis from the start. I think they win by a touchdown.
You know, remember how he said I have those posters on the roof?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's moving Andrew Luck's posters.
Oh, yeah, he's on his way. The fat head's coming, isn't it?
It's coming.
So you're both going with Indy?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So far we agree.
A short segment.
Yeah, I told you.
We still have...
We'll fill it. Let's go. Just
left.
Keep going.
New Orleans and Philadelphia.
We agree on this, too.
Why do you think... Okay, you know why I think the Saints are going to go there and win. Why do you think they're going to win?
Because Philly's defense is atrocious.
I agree. And I think they're getting a lot of...
Jimmy Graham, you know, Chris Collinsworth, who I actually like. I mean, I really like what Collinsworth does and Al Michaels. I think it's good. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, Michael Kendricks now all of a sudden is like a Pro Bowl, like all-pro linebacker.
It's unbelievable. Every week it's somebody – it's two or three, four or five guys are the greatest in the world.
I think Jimmy Graham's going to have 300 yards, I mean, receiving against
them. Here's the only –
they try to play man.
2-6. Drew Brees is 2-6 on the road outside in the I think in the playoffs.
No, I agree. I just think they're going to – Philly's defense is so bad. Now, listen, I feel he's going to score some points, but the Saints' defense is not all that bad. Rob Ryan's done a good job with that unit. I just think the Saints are too much for them. I don't think they can.
Here's the other thing.
I don't think they can slow them down.
Nick Foles has had a heck of a season.
27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Now, do you like those numbers?
119 passer rating.
But now it's playoff time. And I think we saw a little hint of that last night against the Cowboys. The eyes were coming down a little bit. He wasn't as sharp. He wasn't as accurate. They didn't put up gaudy numbers against the Cowboys, who are atrocious on defense.
Right.
I worry about Nick Foles. This is his first big game in front of those lunatic fans. When the balls start going bad, they're going to boo. They're going to get after him. How does he respond to it? You take Nick Foles. I'll take Drew Brees.
I already took Drew
Brees. No, I'm not saying you. I'm taking the majority of people, because most people think the Eagles are going to walk through the
Saints. No. I don't see it.
The weather's supposed to be, because I've looked, because I'm going, 20 degrees, no precipitation, no wind, nothing.
Yeah.
So it should be okay.
Just cold.
Yeah.
All right. So with.
We got one more?
No.
40.
No. Well, you already did it. You took San Francisco. He took Green Bay.
I mean, let's play him out now then. Okay,
keep it going.
Let's keep it going. We'll play him out.
Fine.
So then it goes, if it plays like we did and we agree on everything, but like I go, then we got San Francisco and Carolina.
You do.
Yeah. And I think Carolina beats them. I think San Francisco beats Carolina.
Okay.
Steve Smith is going to be hobbled. You know, he'll be coming back, but they have no weapons besides him. I mean, Greg Olson's is nice. I think
in your scenario, if your scenario plays out, I agree with you. I think they go and win at Carolina. I just don't think they're going to beat Aaron Rodgers. So if Aaron Rodgers wins.
So then Green Bay goes to Seattle. We'll play yours out.
Not if New Orleans wins. They don't.
Oh, you're right.
Green Bay would go to Carolina, and they'll beat them too.
And Carolina will beat Green Bay.
No, I don't think so.
God,
I don't think so.
So you then got Green Bay.
I think Green Bay can win. It can go to the Super Bowl.
So you have Green Bay going to Seattle for the championship.
How do you know New Orleans can't beat Seattle?
Because you know better than that.
Why? Because they beat them there. They beat.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
I would lean to Seattle.
Let's just your expert analysis with Drew Brees fat heads on your wall, on your ceiling. Who are you picking when? Because I think they're going to end up going there. It's going to be Saints, Seahawks,
I might
in
pick
Seattle.
Not might.
I want to hear
I don't know
you right
yet.
Now.
I got to see how they
we
play.
We just said we're going to play it out. I picked it. Pick.
All right, I picked Seattle. I mean, New Orleans.
You're crazy.
New Orleans. I think that team is highly beatable because they can't pass the damn football. That guy's thrown four touchdown passes and 3 interceptions in the last 4 games. He's been sacked 12 times in the last 3 weeks. 12. Your great offensive line that
so
you're
raving
about.
So then you have New Orleans going to Green Bay
for the championship
for the
game.
NFC Championship.
There you go. Breeze, here it is, Tony. You want me to sum it up for you? Breeze versus Rodgers for the NFC title game. Manning versus Brady for the AFC.
Start playing the music, Pete.
Make
Joe,
it easy on yourself.
Start playing the love
Except
music
the only,
for Pete.
The only flaw in that system is I tend to agree with you. I think Cincinnati can go to New England and win.
And then can they go and beat Manning?
Yes.
They could, but they won't.
I don't think they will either.
I think Peyton is getting the easiest road. If Cincinnati wins, Peyton's getting the easiest road to the Super Bowl he's ever going to have.
And then
he'll play the winner of Indy and Kansas City. Neither one of those teams are that good.
And then the Super Bowl matchup that I said in week 4 would be Denver and Seattle.
Well, you
said
went out on a limb since everybody said that. You really went out on a limb.
I just said that's what it would be, and Seattle will obliterate.
Well, my
the
Super
Broncos.
Bowl.
Yeah, play it out.
I'll play it out.
Who's your Super Bowl? Oh, here we go.
Green
it's so
Bay,
asinine
Bay and
you
the
can't
Broncos.
Even realize it.
And the Broncos will win it. Peyton's winning it. But I did. I'll say this. I'm sticking. I picked them in August.
Gosh.
I played out the season. I picked the Bengals to win it all in August. So for the sake of that, I think the Bengals will win it all.
Bengals and Packers.
And I picked the Bengals and Falcons. That's who I picked before the season.
Yeah, who knew it would go?
I had the Falcons winning at Green Bay in the championship game because I had the Packers having the best record.
We got a minute left. What do you want to say?
It's been a great year.
Fun.
What a great show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to apologize to Pete for whipping his rear end on a weekly basis.
You went out losing.
And
it's old lang syne.
I think it's sad. Hopefully management will bring us back for year 2.
I think the ratings would bear that out.
You never know though. And if this was our
I might hold out next year.
If this was our one and only year together, I'm glad it's over.
Folks, they're holding hands right now. It really is a touching scene here in the radio studio.
It was fun.
Pete's old friends.
Back
old
on the
time.
Radio in Jacksonville again. I couldn't
I'll
beat
say,
it.
I'll say this. Pete and I talked about doing this for a long time. Yep. Not so much on, you know, for the Jaguars, because neither of us worked for the Jaguars, but we talked for a long time about doing a show together in Jacksonville. Really, we should be national, but, you know,
I miss
why national? Intergalactic. I miss doing radio every day.
I did radio every day for 7 years here, and I miss being on the radio waves in Jacksonville.
I'm glad to be back.
Maybe international.
I like international.
Yeah, we'll go international, Pete.
Then people go all over the country can see what a meathead, all over the world can see what a meathead you are.
We get a podcast, too.
That'll do it, folks. Happy New Year to you all.
See
you,
everybody.